ways, and I'm really happy to see all of you. I just want to mention one thing before I forget until 3 o'clock this afternoon or something. Craig and Nancy sold their house this morning, and they are really on their way. Just blessed by God with that. That's right. All right. Excellent. Okay. Very good. Very good. I have had just a wonderful time getting to talk with a number of you over these past few months and learning some things about the history of St. Francis. And some of those things are coming back into my mind, sometimes when I'm talking with some of you, sometimes when I'm just first thing up in the morning and coffee's dribbling down my chin or whatever the case may be. And I recall that at one point early in the history of St. Francis, and I believe it was the first priest that was going to be called as the vicar after, I believe it was April Greenwood, had got things planted here in St. Clair's and so forth, and then there was a priest going to be called to St. Francis. And there was some meetings, and this particular priest said, "I think what we ought to do," of course I'm paraphrasing, how many priests would say something like this anyway? "I think what we ought to do," he said, "what we ought to do is have just house church meetings, and that would be kind of it. Have a house church network." Was that what it was? Cell groups. Even worse, isn't it? That's right. And there would be, there was not supposed to be a Sunday morning service, was there? No, it was just that cell groups, it was going to be a cell church network. That just didn't fly. Yeah, he did, that's right, he flew. That's right. To who knows where. And we can be very thankful to Jesus that that did not fly. That Sunday morning has still gone strong. And in fact, over these years, one of the things that I noticed right from the beginning, when Carol and I were looking at churches that had openings, we thought there's something here about St. Francis where this group has faced some challenges and gone together through whatever it took to meet those challenges and come out at this place. That's a very powerful experience, and God leads you through that, and all that. That's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And there's a purpose for that. There's probably many purposes, but there's one comes to mind. And that is, in some way, that points to the purpose of this congregation begins deriving from the calling on St. Francis himself, which was, rebuild my church. And there is something about this fellowship rebuilding what God has desired in this area. And Sunday morning, it is an incredibly important part of that. And in fact, we begin to hear it in the Old Testament reading today, where you'd be called rebuilders of the ancient walls, repairers of the breach. Very powerful part of what goes on with this fellowship, of the purposes of God. And to have come through together over a few years and come to this point in this building is one of the ways that that calling is being played out and walked out. And it will go further. So that's, I believe that very deeply. And that's part of what we do together from now on is answer the call of God in the way God desires it to be answered, to rebuild his church in this area. And I want to say that to also assure you that as we've been talking about the changes in culture in America and as they are here, and some of the different things we need to do to reach out to people who really do not respond to a church any longer, I want to assure you that your vestry and I have no intention of disbanding Sunday morning and going to some crazy network. Now, I know you're not thinking that. However, I want to assure you that's not the case. Rebuilding the church means all of it. Everything. Everything God wants here is what we pursue. And a part of that, which I'm not going to unpack too much today, but just to underline it, an extremely important part of that is this. There are many people around this immediate area who grew up in a church, got involved in a church, had a falling out in a church, and have been away for a number of years. And that's some of your stories. And you know how to bring them back. You know how to rebuild that part of the church. And you know what it took for you to do it. You knew what it took for you to come back after 15 or 20 years. And God has put that on this fellowship, this Sunday morning group as well. Now the rest of the repairing that will go on will be, some of us will go and connect with people who are completely unconnected, never had a connection with the church, maybe for two or three generations in their family. And that will be a different look, a different schedule or structure, or I mean, I don't even know what. Depends on who you connect with that's you find out there. But they will be part of St. Francis too, and that will be part of rebuilding the church, just as God in the 1200s asked St. Francis to do. That is still an active call that comes from the Spirit of God. Okay, everybody okay? All right. Good. If you have a seatbelt, you buckle it, because... We may be on rapids in a kayak without a paddle. Okay. Now, I want to put a few things into the foundation of this thinking this morning out of the gospel, and where we see this woman was healed after 18 years of a chronic condition in which she could not stand up straight. She's completely bent over. Everywhere she went, she was like that. And Jesus, with one touch, brought healing to her. And of course, as you heard, got in trouble for doing that on the Sabbath. So I want to point out a couple of things from this particular instance that would apply directly to us as a fellowship, and perhaps to your life where you are right at the moment. And the first thing is this. Jesus, when he was answering the Pharisees who said, you shouldn't be doing that on the Sabbath, said, a daughter of Abraham has been released. That's very, very significant. Very significant. Because it is through the children of Abraham that every family in the history of the earth is to be blessed. The release of a daughter of Abraham signifies the release of the blessing and kingdom of God upon every family on earth. You and I are children of Abraham. The children who receive what God has by faith are the children of Abraham. And it is God's desire that every family, nation, tribe, language, tongue, person, every conceivable group would be blessed throughout the earth. Not only our actually immediate families, but every group that we could possibly think of would be blessed. For example, every place of business, every office group, every sports team, every classroom, every after-school club, every rock band, if you can picture that, every extended family, and just so on. It is every possible group you could think of is within God's view to be blessed through the children of Abraham, which is through us, the ones who live by faith and not by sight. There are so many groups he desires to be blessed that it is beyond our ability to count them. Just like when God first gave that promise to Abraham that your children will be numbered as the stars in the sky and the sand of the sea. That comes through us. Now, what happens is that this woman, the daughter of Abraham, was released as the sign of that. And she actually carries that release that Jesus just gave her now everywhere she goes. I mean, first of all, be visible. Instead of walking around bent over all the time and needing help, she's standing straight up and walking strong every day, every place that she goes. That's going to be a tremendous blessing to her family. I mean, how do you think her mom and dad felt when she walked home from the synagogue that day? They probably said, what a Sabbath. This is great. All other kinds of things would have happened as she then, during the week, went around her normal routine. The blessing of God would just keep flowing and flowing wherever she went in her immediate network. That is how it happens with us. We also do things that, and we receive from Jesus, and then we do the things that Jesus did in us with other people. See, not only would they see that we may have had some kind of blessing or help or whatever it may be from Jesus, they also begin receiving through us that very same peace that we received, which is the kingdom of God. That's how people receive it. They receive it through the children of Abraham. Now, God's going to be working on them ahead of time before we get there. God's going to be doing things to draw them into the place, just like we sang a few minutes ago. Not only do you and I hear the voice of God calling us in the night, but people who do not worship, do not know him, do not understand the presence of Jesus will hear the voice of God calling in the night. And then what adds to that is that you and I, by the provision of the Spirit of God, hold God's people in our hearts. And some of God's people are people that have never, ever been in a church and perhaps only used the name of Jesus in a fashion that we would find distasteful. Yes, thank you. Distasteful. Yes. That's how that works. And we will do those things in the way that Jesus did. Remember, Jesus never cheated. He always did everything he did, even this healing, as a human being under the power of the Holy Spirit. He never pulled a fast one and went over to the God side and did a healing and then snuck back before anybody saw it. He would do it just as you and I would do it in the power of the Holy Spirit every single time. That's why he's our model for ministry. That's why we prayed in the collect today that we would have his ability to walk in his example, to follow his steps. Okay. All right. This is going great, I think, this morning. So I'm going to jump to the next, the very next part of this, which is it will challenge some of our perceptions about Jesus. And this may be a very cherished perception that you have, and I want to directly challenge it, if that's okay. Okay, all right, good. Okay, this side of the church, is they're so-so with it, you guys. Well, all right, think about it. It is easy to think that God is going to bless Jesus every time, and if we have the right relationship with Jesus, we will receive that blessing. Maybe. Now, you don't have to raise your hand and admit this, but I just want to say, if you're thinking that, there's a little something else that we got to add in. And it's It's this. What God has done with Jesus, he wants to do with you. All right. Richard, that's why this side of the church just didn't say anything. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You will pick up your cross every single day. Which is, remember, your cross is not something that annoys you. You don't need a cross for that. Your cross is something. Your cross is something that kills you. It is an instrument of execution. Now, I wasn't going to say that today, but Richard, you know, what are you going to do? Yes, they do. They do say that. Right. Uh-huh. Which may not be your cross. It may be another instrument of execution. Yes, that's right. Yeah, but so I would say choose your instruments of execution wisely. Because there is a resurrection with one of them, see? Yeah. Yeah, okay. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. It's this. See, a picture of Jesus in which God will supply to Jesus so that Jesus can get on with what he's supposed to do is exactly the picture that Satan has of him. That's what you see in Luke 4, in the wilderness and the temptation. There he is, Jesus, in the desert for 40 days. By the way, just having moved from the deserts out west, 40 minutes, I'd have been dead. Here's Jesus 40 days in the wilderness, and Satan is saying, well, you know, you're Jesus. God will make bread for you. And that was it. That was the extent of the picture of Jesus that Satan has. We want a bigger one than that, which is he will transform us to take the steps that he also took. Now, just to take some of the stress off, since we've already identified that as a killing dynamic, is the one thing that God will not expect of us that Jesus did was to pay the perfect price for our sins. That is a once and done only thing that Jesus did on the cross. The rest of it, he's calling us to do. And a huge part of that is extending the kingdom wherever we go. One part of that will be extending the kingdom into groups of people that have yet to fully have it impact their culture. Now, it used to be that was overseas. Today, it's right here, next door, across the street, wherever we work. That's what's challenging. It's easy to think, well, Jesus has received from God, and if I go and kind of engage with Jesus, then I'll have enough to get through this week, and I'll be set. Very important, to which we add, I want to receive from Jesus the ability to be like him. Okay. Let's keep going. On the Sabbath, something happened. Jesus got in trouble. And what happened was that Jesus let the blessings fly on the Sabbath. And, you know, the Pharisees say, well, you can't do that. But here's the idea that I think Jesus is giving us with that. You develop the disciplines of the Christian faith so that you can become like him. That's the idea. You pray so you can start praying like he prayed. You believe so you can believe like Jesus believed. You forgive so you can forgive like Jesus forgave. You celebrate so you can be celebrating like Jesus celebrated. That's the idea. You follow the Sabbath, which is you let God directly impact you so that you can practice the Sabbath like Jesus practiced the Sabbath. That way, you'd be able to walk like Jesus walked, do the things that he did, fulfill our calling as the children of Abraham, and extend his kingdom wherever we go. Which is, as you will recall, is the prayer book definition of a Christian. To work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom. Okay. All right, I want to see if you have any questions at this point. Oh, Joan, how unusual. Yes.
Do you believe that God would bless individuals, mortals, and men to create energy?
Yes.
Just down on that just a little bit.
Sure. Because what the scripture seems to say is that Jesus always worked as a human being under the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is in that condition that he performed miracles. That is the same conditions for us. So in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we were to, as Jesus did, pray for healing, for example, there is the very strong possibility that God would direct that healing through that prayer. Let me add just one other thing to that. There is a manner in which Jesus did that, and one of them is he saw what God was doing and it was healing, and then went ahead and prayed for healing on that occasion. There were several occasions reported in the Gospels in which Jesus could not do healing there. So we, you know, if he couldn't do it, then maybe we couldn't do it either. It wouldn't be a perfect record. Yeah. The other thing that we want to pay attention to is the manner in which Jesus did it, in which he often spoke directly to a condition, telling it to go, instead of, God, if it be your will. And, in other words, it won't be my fault, but it's your idea, so go ahead, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that was the, yeah, sure. Let me give you I forget if I have given you this example, but I will now, just in case you forgot it too. D-Day of World War II. The Allies go in and they invade Normandy, and the Germans know it's over, but they hold on for another, until the next May. What is that, about 11 months, where they finally gave up. In between, the Germans know it's over, but it was the toughest fighting of the entire war with the most casualties. The resurrection, powers of evil know it's over. The day of Jesus' return, it's finally done. In between, which is the days we're in. Spiritually, it is the toughest period with the most casualties, but Jesus is still going to win. That's why sometimes when you pray for something, it's not there right away. It's not, we're in that in-between time. Kathy.
You know, praying for healing in this story of Christmas, there's no story that I know of, correct me, where Jesus prayed for somebody before and they weren't just yet. And that's a...
Right. Correct. Yeah. Excellent point. Yeah, there is no specific instance where Jesus prayed for something and it didn't happen. But there are reports that are a little more general, where it says, and he did no great work there, then moved on. Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're trying to get the cause forwarded, you just, you mention it, but, right? Yeah. Right. Was there somebody else? Yeah, Carol. Okay, you're making me nervous, but all right, I'll just go ahead there, sure. Right. That's right. Yeah, last week talked about the sermon as recognizing the action of God in someone. And to just go a little wider, here's what's underneath that. This is making me really nervous. I just hadn't thought about this enough. A Christian will serve Jesus by serving other people. And that is just a little bit different than generally giving back. To give back means that you will do things for people who are in need, just generally wherever you can, wherever you have the opportunity. A great thing to do. This is where this why I'm nervous. I was just going to think, oh, John said we shouldn't be giving back. Please give back. But however, the Christian manner of extending the kingdom, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, praying for the sick, is you hear the voice of Jesus say, when you did this to the least, you did it to me. And we listen for that voice of where he is, and go, that's where we put it all in. You add that to the lifestyle of giving, just generally living a little more simply so you can distribute what you have to those who are in need. Was that helpful at all? Thank you for beginning to say yes, it was. Okay. All right. All right, you get the idea, I think, I hope, that I'm expressing it clearly, that what we want to do over this coming year is re-engage as deeply as possible with the calling on St. Francis to rebuild the church by drawing those, calling those who have been far away for many years back into this table on Sunday morning, and then connecting with those who have no connection of any kind as well. Both of those rebuild. The building's more than the foundation. There's all kinds of other things that go in. As you learned firsthand, more than perhaps you wanted to, just a couple of years ago. Okay? All right, let's stand and confess our faith.